Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. No, I don't really want to take his cool off,
Boy,
so I just pressed it.
Early in the morning, if he's on my mind, I'ma take the time, yeah. Do it how we want.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a proof? A proof is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
I'm praying that right now. I'm praying, what is a fruit? What's wrong? Y'all can't hear me? Oh, no, they can't hear me. Brothers? Sisters? Yeah, Sister Gidget, will you please ask Jesus to change the name of that song? To change the name of that song that he keeps calling Marvin.
The merchant ships, minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs? Just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption song, redemption song, redemption song.
Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
You're live.
please.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Forrest, for that lovely introduction. Nation Building family, I want to greet you and the listening audience in the greeting words of peace in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Richard, bringing you live the real FOI talk show. And we just want to thank y'all once again, listening audience, for lending us your ears. Today we're going to discuss part two of what was spoken of last week by Sister Gidget and Brother Jason, and that's the warehousing and the life on the inside of our black men and women that are in prison. If you can, I'd just like to take the time out to introduce the panel of discussion today. We're here with Brother Salam, who is the East Coast Regional Prison Minister, and we're so happy to have him on the panel today. Brother Salam, are you there?
Yes, sir. Salam alaikum. Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Mubarak, my brother. Can you just introduce yourself and give the people some of what you do right quick before we get into tonight's topic?
Yes, my name is Brother Abdul Salam Muhammad. I'm the acting prison reform minister, student minister for the Nation of Islam on the East Coast. I assist Minister Abdullah Muhammad, who is the National Regional Prison Reform Minister out of Chicago. I was appointed this position by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in 1995 when he appointed me to become the first chaplain for the Nation of Islam, and I got hired by the New York Department of Corrections in 1995, and I worked that position for 10 years, and I'm still now the acting Regional Prison Reform East Coast Regional Minister. And what I do, I go to different facilities like Rikers Island, go to the federal prisons, and I write newsletters to the brothers who are incarcerated. And basically that's it. And I have other brothers that assist me as chaplains in the New York Department of Corrections. We have Sister Minister Linda Muhammad, who's a chaplain out of Bedford Hills, that Minister Henry. You still hear me?
Yes, sir, beloved.
You got Minister Henry, you got Minister Courtney, you got Minister James, Minister Ronald, Minister Lukman, and soon you'll have Brother Minister, Student Minister Sunni Muhammad. He's about to become a chaplain. And what we do, we go inspire the brothers who are incarcerated with the life-giving, life-saving teachings of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad. And our goals and our aspiration is to inspire them to want to accept these teachings, and once they accept these teachings, a transformation takes place in their life, and that transformation is on three levels, mentally, morally, and spiritually. So we'll talk about all those different levels as we continue this dialogue. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Thank you, beloved. Brother Ronald, is you on the line, beloved?
Yes, sir, brother.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, brother. I just want to let you know we live and we're on the air. Pardon the mishap. We was trying to get to you, but unfortunately we couldn't time you in. But I just want to let you know we're live. So if you can just introduce yourself, brother. For the Nation Building family, I just want to share with y'all real briefly before brother introduce himself and give y'all a quick understanding of who he is. You know, this brother, I hold a special place in my heart for him, because while I was on the inside, this is a brother that came personally to see about me and to make sure that I was okay each and every time. You know, and I have a special love and a place in my heart for brother. So that being said, beloved, share a little of yourself and who you are and what you do to the Nation Building family and the listening audience, if you will.
Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. Also can never thank him for believing in our misgiving us the exalted Christ. That man is no other than the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I can never thank him enough for giving us that reminder, that divine reminder, and I miss the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet you, family, with the greetings of peace once again. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Brother Ronald Muhammad. I've been a Nation of Islam chaplain for close to 7 years, and I'm currently responsible for over 16 facilities that I'm responsible for that I go and, you know, throughout my time, you know, on the job and try to reach our brothers in every nook and cranny that I can get to. I try to give our brothers the teachers of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I have a, you know, it seems like a heavy task of the 16 facilities, but in the Quran, Allah is placing a burden on the believer that you can never handle. So Allah has prepared me, you know, specifically, you know, for this aspect of the job, which is never a hard journey, because I have the opportunity to meet brothers like Brother Richard, you know, that I was encouraged by Brother Henry to go check on Brother Richard, and he happened to be in one of my facilities in my area. He was the only brother that was coming out. But, you know, the strength is not in the numbers, according to the Quran. So even though that brother was the only brother there that wanted these teachings, I made it my duty to come see him at least twice a month, even sometimes three times a month with my busy, busy schedule. But I felt it was something that was needed, and I believe that, you know, not only did Brother Richard, I inspired Brother Richard, but he also inspired me. So this was a two-way love affair, definitely. But I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to speak with you family today. But I got to give my props out to Brother Salam, because it wasn't for me, Brother Salam, it wouldn't have been no Brother Lon in the Department of Correction. Brother Salam came through our city many, many years ago, maybe 10, maybe 12 years ago, our little city in Utica, New York. He really came in, you know, he came in looking for some help to go into the facilities. And he met myself and Brother Courtney. And, you know, he sparked us. He inspired us by his example. The brother who did time behind the wall. And I seen what he done in his life, and that inspired me to go find more brothers like Brother Salam behind the wall. And I definitely have met brothers like Brother Salam, and brothers that Brother Salam has touched through his time as an inmate, as well as a minister. So I got to give my props to that brother Delon, giving me the inspiration to do that. Thank you, family.
Yes, sir. Well, like Salam, you know, thank brother, thank you, Brother Salam and Brother Ronald. Of course, as we doing this introduction, you know, there's no need for me to introduce this next brother. You know, Brother Jason, you know, you on the show, people have listened to you. You have inspired the family. You know, you're very, very well spoken. We thank Allah for your wisdom, brother. But if you can touch on something real quick, you know, before we get into the topic, if you want to just give the greetings to the family and let them know that you're on the air, beloved.
Yes, sir, brother. Assalamu alaikum, family, and Ramadan Mubarak. It's good to hear all your voices, and Brother Richard, for this show again, it is very instrumental that we have this type of show in with the meaning of the FOI, because we can never forget that there's a merging of two types of brothers that make up the FOI. And I was speaking to brothers last night as we went out doing the business of our father out in the projects of New York City. I was speaking to the brothers, letting them know that there's two type of brothers inside the FOI. You have your brothers that have been nurtured and who have been educated by the streets, and you have your brothers who have been nurtured and educated by the colleges and universities of this world. Inside of the FOI, there's a merging of those two minds, and the brothers from the streets teach the brothers from the colleges street knowledge, and the brothers from the colleges and universities teach the brothers from the street book knowledge. And it's a good blending of the two that make up a solid FOI. So this type of show is a reminder of the importance of the brothers who have been incarcerated, who are formerly incarcerated, and why they are so important to the building of our nation, brother. So that's all I like to say, and greet the family, and thank those who are listening to tonight's program. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, Yes, thank you, Brother Jason. Like I said, you don't need no introduction. And and another person who doesn't need an introduction, you know, she, even though this is the FOI show, I asked Brother Forrest to call her, you know, and, you know, she's always Johnny on the spot. She claimed that she didn't have too much to say before she got on the air, but I'm quite sure that Allah would guide her and give her the inspiration that she needs. Sister Gidget, are you present and accounted for?
Front and center, yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum, family.
Walaykum as-salam.
Yes, sir. I just want to thank you, Brother Richard, for inviting me, even though I feel like a sore thumb amongst all this FOI. But then again, you know I'm really in my comfort zone, don't you?
Yes,
growing
yes,
up with
ma'am.
Him brothers, this is all I know. But praise be to Allah for all of you who are participating tonight, especially Brother Jason. I know you got put on the spot. Thank you so much. And, you know, I love you all. Thank you, Brother Forrest, for engineering. And I'm here just to give my insight and share my experience from being a prison minister in the Southwest region some years ago when this party first got started. So any questions you want me to answer, Brother Richard, I'm here to accommodate you, sir.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am. We're going to get started. Let me just give a big shout-out to my big brother, Brother Forrest, because he's the man behind the scenes, and without him handling what he handled, none of this would be possible. So, Brother Forrest, I'm sending you a special assalamu alaikum. Thank you, my brother, and I really, really appreciate you. So, that being said, we're going to go ahead and get started. My first question to the panel, particularly, I'm going to start off with Brother Salam, being that you're the East Coast Regional Minister, Prison Minister. You know, a lot of times you have a question of that the prisoners have a question of recidivism. And that meaning that the prisons is constantly a revolving door. So my question to you, beloved, is what do you think that it would take to keep brothers from really, really becoming incarcerated? And when I say brothers, I'm talking about brothers and sisters, because there's a lot of sisters that are now being placed into this warehouse system. So if you can just speak to that for a minute, brother, I would appreciate it.
Well, you know, recidivism happens when someone come home from prison, regardless if they're a Christian, Muslim, or whatever their faith tradition might be. But the recidivism comes when they don't incorporate their belief system in their life. And when you don't incorporate your belief system in your daily life, then it tends to cause you to retract or go back to what you've been doing before. And this is why recidivism takes place, because many people come home, but they say they believe, but when they get out here, they don't practice their belief, and they resort back to what they've been doing. That's why we have a high rate of recidivism among our brothers and sisters who are incarcerated. However, when it comes to the Nation of Islam, we have the lowest recidivism rate among all of our brothers and sisters coming out of prison. And that's because we have a teaching that transforms life. And those of us who take advantage of this transformation usually stay out of prison. For instance, for every 100 brothers of the Nation of Islam come out of prison, about 20 return back. Whereas with anybody else, about 60 return back. So that's why we have a high rate of recidivism among our people. They don't incorporate their belief system in their life.
Okay, thank you, beloved. Brother Ronald, the same question to you. Let me rephrase it a little bit. Like, you know, what is it going to take to keep our people, you know, out of this system? You know, because clearly it's not designed for white folks. So, you know, they designed it for us, but what would it take to keep us out of it?
You know, brother, you know, Yama is from Farrakhan teaches in the study guide, belief counts for nothing unless carried into practice. You know, the theory of teaching Mosad Muhammad is wonderful, but the application is the key part that we have to apply. It's those in the prison and out of prison to our daily lives. It has to be a principle. It has to be a rule for the brothers to actually want to make a change. And the only thing that's going to change brothers behind these walls as well as sisters is the knowledge of themselves. And that's the key component to get brothers that really want to make that change. The application is easy to recite the lessons. It's wonderful. But it's a different type of manifestation to apply them to your life on a daily basis, brother. So that's just my belief and my understanding. It's the theory with the application. It has to be one. Thank you,
brother. Yes, sir. Thank you. Brother Jason, I know I put you on the spot tonight, brother, but you're full of information, so, you know, I'm quite sure you can share something with us that can give us some insight into this ongoing problem with us as a people in this revolving door with this prison system. So can you answer that question as well, beloved?
Well, yes, sir. As our brothers, Brother Salam and Ronald have said, it's mainly about us, and we should be more introspective, and we should look at ourselves. However, I'm not going to let the open enemy off the hook so easily.
Yes,
because
sir.
There's a financial gain nowadays, and really not nowadays, there's a financial gain in keeping black and brown men locked up, and women, I should say. There's a financial gain in the privatization of prisons and the prison systems, and our enemy knows that for every black or brown body that is incarcerated, there's a great financial reward. And once we find a way to remove the financial incentive for those who are in power and those who tend to want to stay in power, we remove the financial gain from their mind that every time that they lock up a brother or a sister, that they don't make money off of it, and they don't continue what they started back after the Civil War, which is the convict leasing program, where they, instead of giving a brother a real honest wage and a wage that he can support himself and his family on the outside, they break us down to be a partial slave on the inside and have us working for these same corporations. However, we're working for them for pennies on the inside, where we could have been making really decent salaries for the same exact work on the outside. Once we remove that financial incentive from our open enemy, then I believe that the paradigm will change in our favor. And just as the book has written, that in the last 10 to 15 years, we have had less or less serious crimes, but longer sentencing for the same crimes. And I guess we'll get into the nuts and bolts of that later on, Brother Richard. But I just didn't want to leave the open enemy off the hook, because he's always there with gnashing teeth and fangs waiting to bite us on our neck and put us to sleep and back in prison, bro.
Well, beloved, you know, that answer that you just gave, it sounded like you cleaned and gutted him very well and put him on the hook, brother. So we thank you very much. But I must ask the Queen this, because we're talking about both black men and women, you know, constantly dealing with this revolving door. So Sister Kidget, if you can please speak to the black woman who may be listening and has partake of this issue. Can you encourage them in some way or give them some type of insight of how to stay out of this evil system and this diabolical scheme that, you know, our open enemy has for our people?
Well, Brother Richard, what I would say to anyone, be it female or male, be it brother or sister, is that, you know, we first have to learn to love ourselves. That's the first thing we have to do. In that process, you know, we as a whole, not one individual, we as a whole really have to take hold of our communities and make them flourish. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we have to do for self. So we have to claim our area. We might live in the ghetto, but the ghetto can be a beautiful place if we had that pride of ownership and if we took pride in our streets and in ourselves and in how we communicate with one another, because people have to have something positive to gravitate to. And I think that we lose a lot of our people because we are not in control of our neighborhoods, because we can get a crack house in our neighborhood, the police can know it's a crack house, and nobody does anything. We have liquor stores on the corner. We got a little Johnny selling guns out of his truck. All this criminal activity, everybody knows about, but then there's nothing in place to, you know, issue out the rod of discipline. So once we start taking hold of our communities and loving ourselves, that's going to stop us from going from prison, because we're going to stop involving ourselves in negative activity and be productive.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, but I know this is your show. I didn't want to break in, brother, but I wanted to remind you to remind the audience that they could call in, and I know if we don't do it early, sometimes they think that they're not welcome on your show, which is the real FOI. And I know that there's some who are listening that would absolutely like to chime in, as well as our brother, the engineer, Brother Forrest, would like to speak as well.
Yes, sir, beloved. Thank you so much for that, Brother Jason. Well, y'all heard him. There's no need for me to have to repeat that, but I will. If you have any questions, please call in. Feel free, family. This is your show, as well as, you know, everyone's on this panel, including mine, Brother Forrest. You the man behind the system, so you can jump in any moment, brother.
Okay, my brother, thank you so much, and thank you for the special greetings you gave me at the top of the show, and I just want to return my salams to everyone. And remind the calling audience before I make my comment that the number is 646-716-5971, 646-716-5971, and please press 1 to let me know that you have a question. I wanted to comment on this, and I used to be quiet, but this is such stuff that used to work for the correction officer in the prison.
Brother Forrest, you're breaking up and we can't hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me now? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the number is 646-716-5971, 646-716-5971. For all those who are listening on the internet who have questions, press the number 1 once you come in so we know you have a question. And I wanted to drill down a little bit because I used to work in the prison system as a correction officer. And it really bothered me because such beautiful black men and Latino men put in jail for 15 years, 20 years because they had drug habits and they did something that they shouldn't do. They might have stole something or robbed somebody. We're the only country that criminalized drug addicts. We're the only country right now that criminalized, in New York City, 750,000 youth got stopped and put into a database. We've seen the effects of that with one of the young brothers in the community in New York who got a scholarship to college last year. And because he was stopped on the Stop and Frisk program, he was thought to be a criminal. He lost his opportunity to go to school that year until his mother got it cleared up. This problem, you know, a lot of people think the prison problem is for the so-called bad seeds of our community. No, they're trying to criminalize every black man and woman, every Latino man and woman, every poor person. The white poor are just as affected by this as the so-called minority. And we have to begin to realize that this is what the program is. It's about slave labor. Capitalism only works with slave labor. When you have a middle class, it makes the capitalism system crash. That's why they broke up the unions. That's why everybody is being criminalized and put in prison. And that's why they've been thinking about and they've been talking about bringing back debtors' prison. So if you have debt, they can send you to prison. So we have to be, everyone has to be diligent on this subject. And it's such a timely subject, Brother Richard. And I appreciate you for broaching the subject. I know this is part 2. You probably need a part 5, 6, and 8. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you for thank you for letting me chime in, brother. I'm going back behind the scenes. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother Fars, thank you, brother. And feel free to chime in at any given moment, brother. You don't need no introduction. You know, just like Brother Jason and Sister Gidget, you know, I'm thankful to our two new friends or guests or brothers on the show. But I just want to briefly drift back to where we was at, because, Brother Salam, you touched on something earlier, and you spoke to the fact that brothers in the Nation of Islam, they are less likely to return. You know, and I just want to act, and I really want to start with you first, Brother Ronald, and then you can pick it up, Brother Salam. What are the difficulties that y'all find or y'all encounter trying to introduce the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad into these prison systems? Brother Ronald, you know as well as I do where I was located at. There was brothers who was trying to gravitate towards the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I practically caught hell trying to give them these teachings with your assistance, brother. But can you just speak, because you spoke about this inside, can you just answer some of the problems you encounter on trying to deliver the teachings inside these institutions?
Yes, sir, brother. You know, brother, you know, I realized early on, brother, that the attack on the Honorable Minister with Farrakhan, we're just a microcosm of the macrocosm. And as they attack the minister, I don't think those of us who are believers should be oblivious. They don't think that attack is eventually is going to trickle down to us. Because in order to knock, you know, in boxing, you go to the body first before you try to take out the head. So they're going to attack the body of believers. In any walks of life, they're going to challenge our belief, our faith, and who we follow. And that's in the prisons. I mean, even with Peter King and how he's coming against the Nation early on in the early 90s, taking jobs away from us. And I hope of us, I hope we didn't think that went away. He's coming at us in the prison as that. On a federal level, we're having a problem getting final calls, and now it's coming on a state level. Well, I'm having a problem bringing a final call newspapers into our prisons, and I'm being challenged on that. So if I don't, you know, challenge that, go against that opposition and attack it with truth and knowledge, and why this Final Call newspaper is a tool to be, once they know that's in the facility, that gets passed around to many, many, many brothers. And like the brother said earlier, the enemy's grip, like Brother Jason was talking about, how they're attacking us with this newspaper, that newspaper can hit at least 100 brothers, listen now, in a month. One newspaper, that's how many times that paper gets passed around in the correctional facility. So with Peter King and what we going through on a higher level, it's coming down and it's going to affect those of the Department of Corrections as we speak now, because I see that they know this is what's going to really transform brothers. And this is what's going to break the recidivism rate. It's the only thing that's going to break the recidivism rate in the prisons, the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Bottom line, I have no doubt in my mind at all with that. And they're doing anything they can to keep this prison industry complex moving, because it's the number one growing economy in America. Prisons are big business. It's on Wall Street. We make everything. I mean, we answer telephones in New York State Corrections, I believe, AT&T. Some of those people to answer the phone are inmates. So it's a money-making business to keep brothers incarcerated, and they're not ready to free brothers at all. So that's just my humble opinion.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Ronald. Brother Forrest, just again, to the listening audience, if you have any questions, feel free to call in. Brother Forrest, do not hesitate to interrupt the conversation that we're having with the panel. If there's any questions, please let us know so that we can answer the questions of the people. Brother Salam, my dear brother, I have to ask you, because you've been on both sides of the fence, and to your credit, brother, I commend you. I admire you a great deal, brother. When I went to go inside you reached out to me and told me if there's anything that I need to reach out to you, beloved, and I'm thankful for you. What are some of the problems that you encounter on trying to deliver the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to the brothers that's on the inside, if you will?
Well, let me give it to you in two parts. I'm going to give it to you when I was incarcerated, then I'll give it to you when I became a chaplain and went back into the prisons to teach.
Yes, sir.
You know, in 1971, right after Attica Ryan, I was in prison. I was in the state prison in Napanat, New York, called Eastern Correctional Facility.
Yes,
and
sir.
Back then, the Nation of Islam was very strong in the prisons back in the 70s. We was the strongest Muslim community in the prisons. But after 1975, when the transition took place, the Orthodox Muslims, as well as those who follow Imam Wahdi Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, you know, they was really our arch enemies, because they was hindering those of us who said we believed in Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we had problems with them, you know. And when I got out of prison in 1991, that problem still exists in the prison. We have problems with the Sunni and those who follow different Islamic, you know, faith. So when I got out of prison, I realized, man, that the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was needed in the prison, you know. And not unfortunately, but fortunately, eight of our brothers that was incarcerated back in the 90s, they filed a federal lawsuit to get the Nation of Islam established. And I was called down to the federal court, Southern District, down in New York City, to testify in regards to our belief. And all praise is due to Allah, we won that federal court case, and I became appointed by Minister Farrakhan to become the first chaplain. And what I did, I realized that we wasn't that strong in the prison system, but I realized there was a lot of brothers who called themselves Nation of Gods and Earth. Nation of Gods was all up in the prisons. So I would travel to different prisons, and I'd be talking to them because they was more inclined to our teachings than anybody else. So what I did, I was appointing brothers who was a part of the God body to establish classes for the NOI. And most of these brothers eventually stood up and became believers of the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Also, I was traveling to different counties in New York State. I went to Buffalo. I went to Utica. I went to Albany. And I was going to brothers who had temples of the Nation of Islam and study groups and asking them to assist me in the prison reform ministry. And brothers stood up like Minister Halim out of Buffalo. Brothers stood up like Minister Courtney and Minister Ronald out of Utica. And other brothers stood up, Brother James out of Syracuse. And they stood up to assist me. And today we got eight chaplains and one sister chaplain out of Brooklyn, Sister Minister Linda Muhammad, Student Minister Linda Muhammad. But one of the difficulties of the teaching Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the prisons is our plight with racist police that still exists in there. I got to call it straight up. We still got police that hate the Nation of Islam and will do everything in their power to stop us. And that exists right now. And I know you experienced it. I experienced it when I was in prison.
Yes,
you know,
sir, brother.
But we still got to do this job.
Yes, sir,
we
brother.
We got to do this job, brother. You know?
Yes, sir. You know, I thank you for that, beloved. And, you know, I must bear you witness. I did experience it. You know, I got threatened with being put in the box and, you know, threatened with all kinds of things. Brother Ronald will always come, and he would constantly remind me, brother, you know, just be calm, because they was getting upset because the brothers that was studying the Sunnis, they was coming out trying to hear the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad by the minister. The Christians started coming out. And, you know, it was a big issue at one point where you know, the imam, he just said to hell with it. You know, me and him would go at it quite often. And, you know, it is what it is, brother. But, you know, there's nothing that's going to break me. But let me get back in line with what we're dealing with. Sister Gidget, if you can just speak to some of the problems that you think on why it is difficult for them to accept the teachings of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad inside this this system.
Well, I don't think it's hard for them to accept the teachings. I think it's hard for them to be exposed to the teaching, so to speak. And, you know, the reason why is because the devil is in opposition to Allah, basically. And what I'm saying, and not trying to be funny, because it's not a funny situation, is they're doing the same thing that they've always done. And they always try to block the goodness that's coming towards black people. But, you know, when Allah is for you, like Brother Farris taught me, when Allah is for you, who can be against you? So it's our own willingness that's going to drive us to Allah. But they're going to put their stumbling blocks in the way. But, you know, that's why Master Farah Muhammad left a portrait of himself studying. So it's not about having the physical material. It's about having that knowledge. So that even when they take paper from us, and even when they take the Quran from us, and even when they take the supreme wisdom from us, if we have the knowledge of Allah in our brain, each one can teach one once each one reach one.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Brother Jason, you know, I got to ask you this a little bit differently, brother, because, you know, I'm starting to feel that, you know, we have a scientist sitting amongst us when it comes down to me asking you certain things on and off the air, beloved. So, you know, I know you spoke earlier about, you know, the business aspect, and you introduced it into the show, but does that play any part of why they don't want the teachings of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad in the system? And if so, can you explain why is it difficult for them to actually allow the inmates to get to, being that it seems to change the worst of inmates overnight?
Yes, sir, Brother Richard. I wanted to speak about, in answering your question, the idea that shame is a powerful tool of motivation. If you can shame someone, you can change someone. And the way that the enemy uses the whole concept of prison and prison life, it is like a brand that they put on our back, like a heated brand, like you brand a horse or a cattle. And it's on you, and they try to put that on you for life. And those of us who are listening to the show, and those of us who have been incarcerated, and those who are going to be incarcerated, because, you know, as we're moving forward, there's many of us that's listening to this show right now that we are about to be incarcerated. So I want us to think about this and consider this. You're in good company. Jesus was incarcerated. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, was incarcerated. Malcolm X, as many of us know, is a famous person in the Nation of Islam that was incarcerated. But along with Malcolm X, there were many, many hundreds, and I dare say thousands, of FOI that have been through the prison system, but they are not, and I'm going to say this again, they're not bad people. They've been put in a bad situation. They've been put in America. And as I was speaking to a young brother last night who told me that he practiced Islam as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad while he was incarcerated. But once he was released, he got back on the streets, and he was not, as Brother Salam said, he was not able to keep up that same fortitude and that same discipline out on the streets. So when he saw us coming into his neighborhood last night, he remembered, he said, I remember I used to be one of you brothers when I was inside. And I told him, I said, brother, when did you get released? Because You're still locked up right now. It's just a macrocosm here in America of the microcosm, which is the prison that you just came from. So everything that you see on the inside, that's just behind walls. Once they open up those gates or once they open up those cell doors, you just step from one prison into another prison. And this America that we're living in right now is a prison unto itself. So just as though, as Brother Ronald said, that we are treated, those of us who are likened to being like a little Minister Farrakhan inside, we get knocked down like they try to knock down the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the outside. Those who are able to stand up, we get put from general population into the hole because of the words coming out of our mouth of the teachers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is dangerous to a system that is opposed to God, as Sister Gidget said. So I just wanted to put that out there, that you could fit the entire universe on the head of a pin if you're just looking in the right dimension.
Yes, sir, beloved. Thank you so much. And as again, you just made my words come true, Brother Scientist. I thank you for them words.
Brother Richard?
Yes, sir.
Listen, Brother Ron, I just want to, I'd like to remember what Brother Jason had said about a little Farrakhan. I remember going, and it was in Clinton, I was coming towards the gate.
Yes, sir.
And I heard the officer say, "Here comes Farrakhan." And they said it as a, you know, as an insult. I know they meant it as an insult. But when I got to the gate, I told the officer behind in the arsenal, I said, "Thank you." Because that means, you know, it was a compliment in my eyes.
That's right.
Because you say, "Here comes Farrakhan." So obviously, you know, that's a good thing to me. If you see any good in me, you calling me like Farrakhan, please.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, sir. Praise be to Allah. You know, but I just wanted to, you know, say that before we went on. Because, I mean, that's an absolute compliment, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise up little Farrakhans all over this correctional system. Everywhere we go, that's what we're trying to touch, bro.
Yes, sir, beloved. I thank you. You know, and if I can, real briefly, just if someone can just speak to the issues, because while I was there, I have heard many things about brothers in different facilities. Because of their stance and their position and what they took on standing on the word and defending the word of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, some brothers was put into the hole. Some brothers was beaten. Some even killed. Can someone touch or speak to the atrocities that some of the inmates face for taking this position of standing for that which they believe so strongly in?
Listen, that's a daily thing in the New York Department of Correction and throughout the prisons of America. We go through serious hell, trials and tribulations with the department. Just look at Attica. It was at the Attica riot that the Nation of Islam stopped all that until the governor decided to move on us. But if it wasn't for the Nation of Islam, Attica would have been went off. But it was the Nation of Islam that caused that situation until Governor Rockefeller decided to send troops up in there. But we were the negotiators, man. But when they found out we were the negotiators, they said, "Hey, we don't want the Nation of Islam to be an example of righteousness." So they moved on us. As a matter of fact, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was on his way to Attica, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called him and said, "Brother, don't go." And then he said the reason why he didn't want him to go because he felt that they was going to kill the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But Minister Farrakhan was the Nation of Islam called Farrakhan to Attica, and Governor Rockefeller sent a plane to LaGuardia Airport to pick up Minister Farrakhan. And as Minister Farrakhan was about to go, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "Don't go, brother, because they want to kill you." So, you know, we go through that in these prisons, man. These devils, man, are real, brother. They are real. They are wrapped by yourself with a KKK hat on. This ain't no joke. We in that time, you know? I remember when I first got hired as a chaplain in 1995, I went to Comstock. And on my way out of Comstock, I was followed by three correction officers in a car, and they chased me, and I lost them on the highway. That was in 1996. They were trying to put fear in me, but I had to get up out of there. Well, these brothers are real, man. They are real as all outdoors, man. And we got to realize, man, our brothers are being persecuted on a daily basis. You know, so, brother, that's how it is, man. We just got to fight this oppression, man. We just got to fight.
Brother Richard, can I say something about that? You know, I don't want us to forget, you know, that the reason why they are in such opposition to these teachings is because they want to imprison you, and you know what I mean. If they have your physical body, they want your mind. Because that is the only thing that makes you an inmate. That is the only thing that makes you a slave. And so if you're left deaf, dumb, and blind to the truth and to the knowledge of Allah, then you're going to be subservient to them. You're going to be enslaved by them mentally and physically. So that is the goal. The goal is to return the original black man and woman back to slavery. That's the purpose. So, you know, I just want to reiterate that because that is the reason why they keep the teachers away from the inmates.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Brother Ronald, was you trying to chime in or who was that?
Yes, sir. Brother Salam probably can bear witness to this. When I started, there was a brother named my brother Isaiah. Actually, the brother, I just found out the brother just went home. He was coming out to my service at Clinton Correctional Facility, which is one of the most racist facilities in New York State. And he had his white shirt and bow tie on in the mess hall. In a sweater vest, and the officer told him he had to take his sweater vest off. So he, instead of confrontation, he agreed to take it off. On his own way back to the cell, he got jumped by an officer. And they handcuffed him, beat him up severely. And handcuffed him and dragged him up the stairs on his face with his handcuffed him behind his back. When I went to the unit to see him in his suit, his face was swollen, his head was swollen, his foot was broken. And tears started coming out of my eyes because I saw the sacrifice this brother made in order just to come here to teach him the Most High Muhammad. And I, you know, by tears coming out of my eyes, the officers came on the unit and confronted me. And they escorted me out the unit and said I was inciting a riot. Because when I came up there and I was crying, the brothers in the unit started getting angry. They started getting excited because they saw that, you know, I was touched by this. So, you know, when I seen what that brother went through, and, you know, in order to bring these teachings, you know, to come hear these teachings, I had no excuse in my heart never to not complain about anything anymore. And I spoke with Brother Salam. He called the family, and we got the family support, and which is helpful in that brother's situation, particularly when he's attacked, that we contact with the family. So I had a great support team from Brother Salam and who looked out for me and helped me through that situation, because I never seen nothing like that in my life. Just, I thought, you know, coming out, hearing the teachings, no big thing. And I saw that the officers attacked this brother. I knew that I was next. So it has made me stronger. And I mean, you know, if that brother didn't take a step back, I damn sure didn't have a, I shouldn't have even thought about taking a step back from any truth to represent this truth, you know, with my life. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, beloved. Brother Jason, I'm going to come to you in a minute, but I just need to say something. First, let me give a shout out to Brother Minister Henry. I don't believe he's listening, but for those who don't know him, he's the Brooklyn, New York minister of Muhammad's Mosque number 7C. He's a good brother, a brother that I have a special place in my heart as well, because if it was not for him, I would never have met Brother Ronald. Brother Ronald, let me say this to you while we on the air in front of everyone, brother. There's never have ever been a question of your diligence to me, brother, because the first time we met, you came in a hailstorm to make sure your brother was all right. I believe your car got totaled by a deer that you hit because of the snowstorm, brother, and you could have easily turned around, but you came anyway, and I never met you, and I never forget the day you came in and you said, "Who is Brother Richard, brother?" And I'm forever grateful to Allah that he have sent you to me, brother. You have brought me tremendous material inside that my mind can stay free, as Sister Gidget has mentioned, and I thank Allah over and over and over again for you, beloved. So your accountability, your faithfulness is never questioned as far as I'm concerned, brother. And I thank Allah for you as and Brother Salam as well, beloved. You know, that being said, Brother Jason.
All praise to Allah. All
yes,
praise
sir. Yes, sir, beloved. Brother Jason, come on and get some of this, beloved, because I know you got to speak to it, you know, because there's some brothers that's in there that, you know, just for standing for our father, man, they are persecuted tremendously, man. And I would like for you to speak to that issue, beloved.
Yes, sir. Well, being as though this is a show entitled, and the theme of this show is always going to be the real FOI, one of the things that we learn, Islam dignifies us, and that is true. But one other thing that we understand and we learn when we come in contact with the teachers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it puts a board in your back. It makes you stand straight up, and it makes you to be aware of your surroundings to the degree where you're not really going to take the okey-doke like we used to. You know, there's a famous scene in the film Malcolm X where most people, if they don't know anything of the teachings, they always say, "Oh, you've been hoodwinked, you've been lied to, you've been led astray." You know, and all of those things start to come to mind once the spark has been put in you over the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in relation to the world that we're living in. And if you're living in such a small world, a compressed world, as a prison, all of the things that we have been lied to about on the outside are magnified because it's more concentrated. So we begin to pick up on things. As Brother Minister Salam has said, we can pick a racist out from, you could have a sea of corrections officers, and they could be white as well as black. And you could pick the black racist out of the sea of black people, and you could tell the ones right away who don't have any love for our people. So the fact that Islam is taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad puts a board in your back, your tongue starts to become freer, and you start to be able to articulate and speak on the wrong that finds its way into your cipher. And one of the things about our open enemy, he hates to be corrected. I just want to give those in the audience something that they can work with when they're dealing with our open enemy, just to show you exactly what type of non-people they are. If you're in and around some Caucasians at one time, maybe Caucasians that you know and you deal with, just find one of them, and in the midst of your conversation with one of them, you stop them and you tell them and compliment them on how articulate they are. And look at the look on their face. Like, how dare you tell me I'm articulate? And that'll show you exactly who you're dealing with, no matter what the relationship is. But you are saying now that I'm in a position of power to now compliment you on the use of your own language, when they're used to doing that to us. So what I'm saying is, those type of things put us in a position of power. We may be locked down, but we also can have a thinking that is upward, upright, and strong. And they're going to have to fight that. That's why they call us a militant organization. We don't have guns. We don't have bombs. But we do have truth. And that is militant or warlike in face of evil and lies, Brother Richard. So that's all I wanted to say on that, that we represent the end of their world, and they're going to fight us to the death over it. And as
Muslims, we don't mind fighting.
You got that right, brother. thank you, brother scientist. I can't even call you Brother Jason no more.
Oh, stop that, brother. All praise is due to Allah for his Christ, brother.
Yes, sir. Brother Flores, we're approaching the halfway mark of this show. Do you have any questions or comments from the listening audience, beloved?
No, sir, not at this time. People are listening, but they're not having any questions. I'll chime in as soon as somebody asks a question, brother.
Okay, are you ready to take a break?
Hold on, brother. We do have a question.
Yes, sir.
217-766, you are live. 217-766, you are live. Go ahead.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Ramadan Mubarak, brothers.
Ramadan Kareem, beloved.
Yeah, it's Brother Harold.
Yes, sir, Brother Harold. How are you?
I'm doing well, by Allah's permission. I was just listening to, because I just turned, chimed in after getting an email from Brother Forrest. I'm listening to Brother Jason. He was saying how Islam puts a board in your back and straightens you up. And
yes,
it reminded me of something I saw from a sister on Facebook, and there's some entertainer that the sister has a fancy for, and she said, oh my God, why did it make my brother look like that? And I said to myself, and I wrote her back, I said, your brother looks like that because he wants to, because he favors a flavor of something that he could not, or he believes he can't get on his own. So he looks like that. And what he looked like was a young brother with pencil-tight jeans on and very pointy shoes and a funny hat on his head, a jacket and a T-shirt. So he's looking like the world wants to present young black males out there to look a little effeminate. He may not be, but he has the look. And as Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, if you present, the look you present is how people perceive you. And the way people perceive you in this life, that's who you are. Until you get touched by the seed of the wisdom from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the heart and the mouth of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I disagree just a tad, Brother Jason. It does more than puts a board in your back. It puts a wire into your head and short circuits that mentality of having to be what the world requires to live a life, and gives you the life that Allah wants you to have, and rewires your thinking. And once that wire and that line of electricity clicks in, boom, you stand straight up from your knees to your feet, and your head is always to the skies. So I want to thank you, Brother Jason, for what you said, because that's significant and represents make all men and boys, but men must come first, join the FOI. So thank you very much, brother.
Oh, thank you,
yes,
Brother
sir.
Howard. Yes, sir. May Allah bless you and your family too, brother.
Thank
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Yes, sir. Brother Harold, thank you so much for that comment. Brother Forrest, are there any other comments or statements or questions out there? And if not, are you ready to take our first break?
I'm going to take a break. The new musical interlude.
I can't hear you. You're breaking up, Brother Forrest. Brother Forrest? Brother Forrest, are you there?
Well, being that brother can't hear us right now, let me, Brother Jason, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, beloved, I hear you.
Okay, thank you. Let me state this for those who are just chiming into the show. What we're speaking about is the warehousing of our black men and women inside the prison systems in America, and what we're introducing is the horrific things that our people go through inside
these this prison system, as we are taught in the lessons that Yaqub did not build no prison houses for his people. So, you know, it's no wonder to me anymore why we are overpopulated in there, because he definitely built them for us. Ben, Brother Forrest, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. You broke up earlier. Are you ready to take the first?
I was saying there's no questions right now, but anybody who has a question that's on the line, there are a few people on the line. You have to press number one so that I know that you have a question. And I say we're going to take a brief musical interlude, and then we're going to come back in about 2 minutes.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you. You can play the music when you're ready, beloved.
Thank you, Black Man. I appreciate it. Little Bob Marley again.
Yo, yes, sir.
Old pirate, yes, a rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption song, redemption song. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption song. All I ever had, redemption song. These songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
This happy art form talk.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Yes,
brother, I'm alaikum.
Yes, sir, brother.
Brother Howell from New York had one more question for y'all.
Yes, sir. Please feel free to ask, Brother Howell. We're listening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, I heard mentioned that there was going to be some discussion with regard to Yaqub not having any prisons for his people when he was on the island of Elon during the process of bringing the white man or making him into existence. And as my understanding, and I'm looking for some verification or at least some an additional enlightenment, that he did not require prisons because the penalty for breaking of the law under his leadership was total and immediate death. Regardless of the degree of the infraction, it was death. So at the price being death is what kept everyone in line. Now, when you fast-track that mindset up until today, using the technology that the white man has, knowing that he could just kill everybody outright immediately at the time, they modified the process of death over a period of time while in the prison system, where death, though not physical, became completely and totally mental and spiritual, that upon your release from the prison, they released a drone. They released an empty shell back into the world that had no significant value. Therefore, when they called you nigger, they were quite right. They were quite correct. You're nothing. You don't represent anything, so you have no value. You're dead.
Yes, sir, Brother Hal. Thank you so much for that comment, beloved. I really, really appreciate it. At this time, I just want to take the time out to ask a question to the panel mainly, Brother Salam, if you can, beloved, can you speak to some of the things that we can do to introduce the teachings into the to this prison system even better than what it is being done now? Because you have been on both sides of the spectrum, and from seeing both sides, beloved, how do you feel that Islam can be better introduced to those who need it most in this system?
Well, you know, back in 1995 at the Million Man March, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wanted us to adapt a prisoner. That means to be able to communicate with a brother or sister, you know, sister to sister, brother to brother. We failed to do that, and we can do that now. We can implement that right now. Get a brother to write a brother and be in communion with this brother until he get out. You know what a letter means to a brother? If a brother receive a letter once a week or once every 2 or 3 days, we can establish that right now. Get a brother to write a brother. Send them Final Call newspaper. Send them literature of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And just stay in commune. This is really important right now, is to establish a relationship with a brother in prison.
Yes, sir, beloved. Yes, sir. Brother Ronald, the same question to you, beloved.
You know, brother, you know, sometimes, like when I believe Brother Jason mentioned earlier, that we have FOI who come from all different walks of life. You know, I came into the prison system straight out of college, brother. You know, I never was in, you know, never was incarcerated like Brother Salam or maybe a couple of other brothers. But I believe a brother who came out of prison and went into the ranks and then comes back and volunteers and comes, spends a little time a day to go back out there
and just be an example to those brothers as a man that has made it on the outside, made something of his life, and has applied the teaching of the Most High Muhammad to his life. So that's somebody coming from where they're at. You know, I have my ability to reach so far, but I believe a brother who's come home and done something with his life could have just as much more or even more of an effect than I, brother. That's what I believe. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, beloved. Sister Gidget, same question. Sister Gidget, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. You said same question?
Yes, the question was, how can we we spoke to the horrific things that happened to the brothers upon them accepting Islam, and y'all spoke about how Islam frees the mind, particularly the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I just would like to know, how can we introduce Islam more to the inmates that they can have their minds free and try to escape, not physically, but at least mentally and spiritually while they're inside?
Well, you know, I think Brother Salam and I come back from the same era, because I was appointed the Southwest Regional Prison Minister prior to the Million Man March, when I was president of the local organizing community with Brother Minister Robert Muhammad. What we did was we did adopt a prisoner, and the mosque as a whole would donate so many final calls, so many Quran, so many messages to the black man, and we would send them to prisoners that would write in and request those items be sent to them. And I'm proud to say that even it's been almost 20 years, 17 years later, I am still very much in touch with a lot of those brothers that I was able to communicate with in prison, and we have been friends and family all these years. So that has been a great victory to come out of the Million Man March. But we need to reiterate that. You know, we as a whole, we need to invite the families of those inmates, even if, you know, they always come to us and, you know, they want us to help them when they feel like their loved ones are being railroaded. But during the process, we need to provide them with the literature that we are privy to, so that they can free their minds. And once they begin to recondition their minds while they're in prison, then they'll be released. They'll be released mentally and, you know, with Allah's blessing, eventually physically. But that's what we have to do. Everybody has to take a responsibility. And another thing that we can't do is that we can't neglect. Because oftentimes, I know when you have friends and family that are incarcerated, we have a tendency to just forget, you know, or a tendency to point the finger, name, shame, and blame, and judge. But we forget the horror and the hell that people go through in prison. So that's the one thing we have to do. We have to show some love and keep our brothers and sisters encouraged.
Brother Richard?
Thank you. Yes, sir, Brother Forrest.
We have a question from 646-288. You're live with Brother Richard. Please ask your question. 64288. I'm not going to give out your whole number, but 64288. Sound like somebody from New York. Are you listening?
Yeah,
you have a question.
I'm right now, but as far as I'm at it.
Pardon me? All right, Brother Richard, I guess we don't have a question.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Forrest. Once again, to the listening audience, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in and press the number one button that your voice can be heard. This is a very Brother Forrest, do you know where that noise is coming from?
Well, sir, it's not me, but somebody else who was from the panel. They have to watch that noise.
You're breaking up, beloved.
I said it's coming from somebody from the panel. They have to watch their background noise. My phone is on mute.
Yes, sir, beloved. Thank you. Let me say this before I get to Brother Jason. As we're speaking about adopting a prisoner and giving certain things to inmates, Brother Jason, I got to put this out there, beloved. You know, because you are truly when the word brother is written in the dictionary. You're right there, beloved, and I love you. I love you, man. A great
all
deal.
All praise
you
to Allah for His grace, brother.
And,
I love you too,
and,
brother.
Yes, sir. And I have to say this, you know, upon me knowing that they were sending me away, you know, brother Jason came to my aid, you know, and me and him talked, and brother said, brother, you know, whatever you need. Why you gone, man? I got you. And I said to him, I said, beloved, if you can just do me one favor, and that is to take care of my daughter while I'm gone, to make sure that she has what she needs, because I'm gonna be gone for a couple of years. You know, and I'm putting this out there about brother so that y'all know the type of brother he is, man. You know, while I called my house, you know, while I was away, my mom's told me that, you know, brother came by. He sat with my mom. He spoke to her. He called her several times, along with Brother Kenny Muhammad, the Human Bebop Orchestra. But Brother Jason sat there, and he took money from his own family, man. And he sat there, and he gave my mom's money that my daughter can receive a winter wardrobe, that she can have boots and coats and clothes to go to school. You know, brother, and I just want to say in front of everybody now, brother, thank you, beloved. I know I said it before, but I want to openly thank you, brother, because I want brothers to know the type of heart that you have, because it's not just me you did it for. When Brother Kenneth was suffering with a bad kidney, brother, you sat on the operating table and gave brother one of your kidneys, man, and that's true brotherhood, man, and I love you for that. Man, thank you, man. Thank you so much, beloved.
Well, all praise is due to Allah for His exalted Christ, brother. You know, those type of things is what we were taught as being FOI, as being soldiers, as being family, and that's one of the things, brother, that we must practice, not only inside of our circle, but we have to expand our circle exponentially. And that's one of the things that brothers who are currently incarcerated have to know is waiting for them on the outside. And that will encourage them to do their program in such a way that they don't get backed up, they don't get extra charges. They find a way to make it on the outside, because we, as a black family, got them like that. That they know that we have businesses in place, that they don't have to be afraid of checking no damn box, that, you know, their hand is shaking when they're filling out the application, because they know they're about to come up to that question that says, have you ever been convicted of a crime? And they know that if they mark the box, they're not going to get the job. If they don't mark the box, they get the job, and then 6 months down the line, somebody come and pull them off of the desk and tell them they got to get their stuff and go. We got to have businesses in place, and we have to have families in place for these brothers and sisters when they are released, that they know that that's the type of love that's waiting for them when they are released, and not just a material thing, but a spiritual and a mental thing as well, that we wrap our arms around them. Because quiet as it's kept, I don't care what you've done to get into prison, but you doing that bid partly for me and my family, because the enemy got to have somebody in there, and it just so happened that this time it was you, that they didn't trump up the charges for me yet.
But I know my time is coming. And I know when it comes, I pray to Allah that I do my bid as faithfully as you've done yours, and other brothers and sisters that are doing their bid right now that are doing it faithfully. I pray that I do my bid with honor and I do my nation proud. Because I know they're coming for me like they're coming for you. And when they come, I pray that we all stand up strong. When it's time to go to court, we answer the questions that we have to answer with strength, and we tell the judge like we know, I'm not the one that should be in judgment here. You should be in judgment. America should be in judgment. And as a matter of fact, America is in judgment. And just as much time as you think that you got for me, I may not do that all of that time, because your country may not last that long. So I may be like some of them brothers in New Orleans. I may be inside of a flood, and the gates pop open, and me and my brothers be able to swim to freedom, and there's no more America on the other side because of all of the wickedness that y'all have done. How dare y'all judge any of us?
Brother, may I interrupt you for a second, please, Brother Richard, before you continue on?
Yes, sir, Brother Forrest. We're
Brother
listening.
Richard, brother, you got to give a mighty shout-out to the FY from New York City, brother. They're on the line. They're on the Internet. They just came on by the hundreds, brother, to our brothers talk about it. Some of them,
that's
I just wanted to let them know, if you have a question, brothers from Mars number 7, Mars 7C, Mars 25, you know, the tri-state, how we do it. If you got a question, I know the black man can pontificate. Please press the number 1 so you can add on to the equation, add on to the circle of the gods, all right? So thank you, brothers, for calling in. Go ahead, Brother Richard. Please continue.
Yes, sir, Brother Forrest. Thank you. Well, New York City, y'all already know how I feel about number 7. I love y'all. My whole sojourn in New York, man, y'all know I'm ready to give up the ghost for y'all. That goes without saying to the FOI that's on the air. Wherever you are, original salute to you, black man. You know, and from Brooklyn, New York, number 7C, y'all let it be known to Minister Henry that we gave him a big shout-out tonight, and we love him. And FOI, let's just continue to do the work. And I thank y'all for chiming in, you know, but we're going to move on to the show. Brother Forrest, thank you for being diligent in your job. But number 7 always rises to the top. That's why they're the heartbeat, brother. Brother Jason,
you
walked us into my next question without me even asking. So, you know, I thank you. You know, and yes, they came for your brother. They caught me on some trumped up charges that, you know, we know that I didn't do. But as Brother Ronald could testify, they know now. I'm not backing down for them, brother, so they can come all they want, beloved. It makes me no difference. It pleases me to go wherever the Father has me to go for the black man and woman. I'm not just talking about the FOI or the MGT. I'm talking about us all as a whole, because as I said before, beloved, I'm ready to give up the ghost for y'all, man, and it makes me no note. That being said, I have to ask this question, Brother Salam, because Brother Jason already dealt with it, so we might as well get into it. How can we as a society encourage the inmates that they can still have a positive future upon their release by planning to do for self, you know, when they're released from prison, beloved? Can you speak to that for the listening audience, please?
Okay, say that one more time.
Okay. I'm going to put it in a simpler text. You know, when a brother is released from prison, you know, sometimes we are discouraged, like Brother Jason said, because that box is on the application, you know, were you ever incarcerated, and you know, sometimes you don't get the job because you answer the question truthfully, and then if you don't answer, somewhere along the line they pull you off the job. So my question to you, beloved, is how can we encourage brothers, you know, to stay positive and learn the method of doing for self as we're taught in the Nation of Islam upon their release from prison?
Yes, sir, brother, you're 100% right. You know, we come out of prisons and we have stigma placed on us because of the fact that we may have a felony conviction. And oftentimes when we go and apply for a job, sometimes they don't give us the job based on the fact that we're former inmates and we got a felony conviction. But we should not let that discourage us to fulfill what the Unbelied to Muhammad has written for us to do for self. You know, even if we got to get out there and start selling, get a stand on the street and selling books or selling hats or selling whatever, our ultimate aim is to do for self, you know. And I agree with that, brother. You know, we shouldn't stop until we're able to do for self, you know. So
yes,
that's
sir.
All I have to say on that. You know, that's our goal, is to do for self.
Yes, sir. Brother Ron, before I get to you, Brother Jason, I'd like to thank you for introducing this here, because I would be, let me just say it out right. You know, in the process of doing for myself, I went back to school and I was taking a energy efficiency building maintenance course. Whereas, you know, it's teaching, you know, how to go green, dealing with natural products. And today I had a final exam. For all those who are listening, your brother scored a 92 on his final exam, and I'm really proud because I represent the black man and woman. And, you know, the white man told me to my face, he said, brother, you're peaking at the right time, and you're absolutely brilliant when it comes down to electricity. So, you know, I just want to throw that out there for those who may have been incarcerated and feel that they can't go back to school and that there's nothing for them to do. You can do it, black man. You just got to teach yourself and stay strong and positive. That being said, Brother Ronald, talk to me, black man. How can we keep the brothers positive and teach them how to do for self upon their release when they're coming home out of the prison institutions?
You know, brother, they have a quote or a saying, the five P's of success: proper planning prevents poor performance.
Yes.
And, you know, that's something that I implement with the brothers before they even start to get home. That's part of my curriculum as I go into the prison, teaching them to do for self. You know, there's a brother out of Queens, brother, that came home out of the Department of Correction, Brother Woodson. Woodson,
yes, sir. Yes,
brother,
sir.
This brother, you know, when he got home, he was locked up 19 out of the last 21 years of his life.
Mm.
And when he got home, we talked about doing for self. And the brother just had, you know, a desire when he got home. I would call him on a regular basis. The brother would be selling glow lights, you know, the glow necklaces, the glow, or whatever, you know, glow in the dark. And he would basically stand in the subway hustling, brother, and buy them at, you know, on retail, you know, buy them in bulk and go out there and hustle. So, I mean, a brother just had a desire, because I always just shoot him, and how much was you making up north? $5 every 2 weeks. So I said, well, brother, then if you sell one of those sticks, you already made 2 weeks of work if you would have gotten out of docks. So
yeah,
I try to use sometimes different ways to encourage them, let them know, brother, you want to, I mean, you can't tell me you ain't going to wash dishes. Come on now, brother. You was washing dishes for 25 cents a day when you was up north. So don't tell me you can't work for minimum wage. But you got to crawl before you can walk, brother. So, but, I mean, we can't start once they get on the street, brother. We got to start working with them when they behind the wall. I don't care how much time they got. I tell brothers, start planning when they go home. They got
four
or 5 years. Start making a business plan right now, brother.
Yes, sir.
So that business plan can be activated once you hit the street. So that's one of the methods that I utilize. Soon as I meet them, what you gonna do when you get home, brother?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you, beloved. Sister Gigi, are you present and accounted for?
Yes, sir.
You keep fading out. Is everything all right?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can now. Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you hear what the question was?
about how to keep them encouraged and have them prepare for when they come home?
Well, I believe you heard the question, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, it's almost like when you're raising a child. You can't wait until they're 18 years old and try to teach them how to be an adult. So on them coming into prison as early as possible, they need to start planning their life for when they get out. And, you know, to go in a positive direction, because the environment itself will teach them how to be a better criminal than they were when they went in there, if they were a criminal at all. And if some of them who are innocent, if they're around a negative environment and that's all they see, and now they got this strike on their back and the brother's in there telling them, well, you know, no one's going to hire you now. You got this X on your back. You know, there wasn't no job when you didn't have a criminal record. You're surely not going to get one now. We need to start at that point saying, okay, if it is so that society is not going to give me a fair and second chance, I need to do something for myself. And they need to start developing those skills. And if you don't do nothing but read, even if you don't get hands-on training, they need to start developing those skills while they are incarcerated so that they can implement those when they come out. But we have to encourage them, us on the outside, their family, their friends, the religious institution, whether it be the mosque, the church, or whatever. We have to encourage our brothers and sisters who are in the belly of the beast so they can come out whole.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, could you ask the brothers that are listening on the phone if they'd like to interject to go ahead and press that number one button, brother?
Well, beloved, you just asked them because I was most certainly coming at them just when you called my name. But as Brother Jason has said, those who are listening, if you have a comment or question, please feel free to dial that number one button and chime right in. We're waiting to speak to you. We want to hear your input. This is your show as well as ours, and we just want to encourage you to join in at any given time. Brother Forrest, is there anyone on the line that have a question or comment?
We have a couple, brother. First is we're gonna put on 347-621. 347-621, you are live. What is your question, please? 347-621, you have a question. Did you call off mute?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam, sir.
Who is this?
Who?
This is Brother Richard 6X from Manhattan.
Oh. Yes, sir, beloved. How are you, beloved?
Everything is all right. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, man.
Ramadan Kareem, sir.
Yes, how's everybody?
Fine, and you, brother?
Well, off with Greg, bro. Well,
yes, sir.
Everything is great. I had just got the text from Brother Forrest, and I appreciate the brother for sending me that text so I could, tune in to what the brothers and sisters are talking about.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what was the question, what's the topic, basically? So I know we're talking about prison, something like that.
No, sir. What we're speaking...
Okay, Brother Richard, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, what we're speaking about is the brothers that's inside the prison institution that is facing all types of horrific things that's being done to them because they want to stand and hear the teachings of the Most High Elijah Muhammad. There's some who just is in prison for whatever reason, you know. And so what we're doing is we're speaking to the issues that is at hand. Brother, Forrest, there's an echo. Can someone turn down whatever they need to turn down, please?
Yes, exactly.
Brother, I apologize. That was me. I'm working two phones, brother. One for texting and talking to the brothers who are calling in, and one for
y'all.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir, beloved. And so what it is, beloved, is that on the panel you have, are you there, Brother Reginald?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you have Brother, you're from Manhattan, so you should know Brother Minister Salim, Abdul Salim Muhammad. He's East Coast Regional Prison Minister. You have Brother Ronald Muhammad, who's the Clinton. He's out of the Clinton Hub. He's also the Prison Minister up in that region. And you have Brother Jason Muhammad and Sister Gidget Muhammad on the panel, and we're discussing the different various issues of the things that happen to people while they're in prison, beloved.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes,
just
sir.
To bring you up to speed on it. And one of the topics we were speaking of, again, is the stance that brothers have taken and how they're being basically prosecuted for wanting to hear the teachings of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad, beloved.
Yes, sir.
So is there anything you want to say on that matter, beloved?
Well, you said like they were being hindered from listening to the teachings of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad?
Some was being hindered, some was being outright murdered, brother. Some was threatened with being put in the box. You know, I know this for actual fact, beloved.
Well, one of the things that I learned, because I'm one of the brothers who did it a lot of times.
Yes, sir.
I did 17 years straight. And
yes, sir.
When I first came into the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when I got into the teachings, one of the things that I was taught was discipline, and I was taught that the Muslim does everything right and exact. So we can't be renegade Muslims and do what we want to do, especially under those type of circumstances. So there's a right way to go about doing things, and there's a wrong way to go about doing things. So
yes,
if you or if a brother is in a facility where they are trying to deny him and the other brothers from practicing the teachings of the Nation of Islam, there's a way that you go about doing it without having to go to the box. Because I'm one of those brothers who never went to the box. And I've been to several correctional facilities, and every time I went to one of them, there's always an obstacle that was put in our path. But we always found a way to practice the teaching of the Nation of Islam. So really, there's no excuse, because the messenger teaches us how to go about, you know, like if there's an obstacle, we are supposed to overcome any obstacle that's put in our path. So even though we in the belly of the beast, there's still a way and there's a way to go about getting the teachers out there. See, Allah is the best of planners, brother. So if you have that spirit and if you have that mentality, you're going to get it done. So like there's no excuse. They can come under the NAACP. It can come under the NOI. You can go into a chapel, the Christian chapel, and get a room. There's so many. You can go to the law library and sit down and congregate. You can go outside to the yard and congregate, because this is what I did. This is what I did when I was there. Until we got a room. Once we got a room, we just sat down and we went over the message to the black man. We fast on Ramadan. You know, even if they don't accommodate us that, there's, you know, you can still do it on your own without having to go to the box or anything.
Yes, I can, but
I was just saying, and there were several brothers that I was with, and we never went to the box because we were trying to get the teachers of the Nation of Islam out there.
Yes, sir.
The Muslim does everything right and exact. There's
a way,
that you go, and the messenger teaches us that we are not the aggressor. We know that's not our house. So if we are behind those walls, we have to follow rules and regulations. As long as it does not conflict with our religion, we have to do what we have to do as Muslims, as brothers.
Yes, there's policy. Yes.
You have to write the administration. You know, they know that we are supposed to be accommodated with a classroom to our practice, the teachings of Nation of Islam, even if it's one day a week. They have accommodated us that.
Brother Richard, Brother Reginald?
Yes, sir, Brother.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut y'all off, brother, but we got like 10 other brothers with questions and comments. Brother, thank you for calling in. I'm going to move on to 2 for 0.
Yes, 7, sir.
740-740-7640. You're live, Brother Reggie. Thank you for your question and comment. 240.
Hey, Brother
Shahid. Shahid, go ahead, black man. What's up, God?
Oh, what's going on, beloved Ramadan Mubarak?
Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem.
I don't know the infamous Brother Shahid. Lives in D.C. now, but he's from Queens. He's a strong soldier for Muhammad. I'm going to let him take over. Brother Richard, take him to task for me.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shahid. How are you?
Alaikum salam. I'm well, brother. I'm well by Allah's permission.
Yes, sir. So you have a question or a comment, beloved?
Well, I was just listening to what beloved was saying that just spoke, and he's on point, but I want to share from my vantage point of about 17 years ago, I was the expert witness on behalf of the guards that were locked up in the state of South Carolina, and it was something that was going on. All of them were being put in an administrative say or solitary confinement because of their affiliation with the Nation of Islam's teachings. And they were just being locked up just because of that. It wasn't because they were doing anything wrong. They were being labeled. And when the Southern Center for Human Rights took the case and a class action lawsuit ensued, I told the lead attorney, Robin Toon, I told him that this would spread, that this was not just going to be confined to South Carolina, that it was going to spread across the United States. And he was a little pessimistic. You know, he's like, oh, I don't think so, Shahid. You're very intelligent, brother, but I don't think so. And it did. It did spread. And before this case rose all the way up to the Supreme Court, unfortunately, that particular attorney was dead. Okay, he died under mysterious circumstances in a car accident. All right, and I wasn't even told when that happened. But the main point that I want to make is that the oppressor, the enemy, does not appreciate the teachings, the life-giving teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Belly of the Beast, because it is there to reform our brothers. It's there to put that board in our brothers' backs. It's there to make us stand on our square, perpendicular in a square.
Yes, sir.
That
yes,
serious
sir.
Discipline. I, you know, back to what Brother Original was saying, he's talking about, you know, respecting those in authority and, you know, using the best of intelligence. And that will, you know, get you by to a certain extent, even in society. But when the enemy has it out for you, he has it out for you. And I know that brothers have been tormented throughout the country for adhering to the teaching. And this continues to happen, especially in this day and time. And there's a double standard, because we know there are other adversarial organizations that exist within the penal institutions. One of them, one of the main adversarial forces is the Aryan Nation.
Yes, sir.
And we see, you know, them popping up every other day. You know, we see an incident happening. You know, and now they're involved or they're behind the scenes or, you know, what have you. But back to the point in hand, you know, there are many, many brothers and sisters who are going through it. There's one of our former first officer from D.C., Brother Leonard, just came home. He was locked up for 10 years for an armed robbery that he didn't commit. He was locked up for over 10 years. Humble brother,
yes.
Beautiful spirit. But the brother was locked up, so and went through it because he's a believer. So,
okay.
You know, there are two sides to the coin.
Yes, sir. Brother Shahid, thank you for your comment, beloved.
Yes,
however, we have more brothers on the line. I appreciate what you said, brother. Once again, you're on point, beloved. Thank you so much. You took the words right out of my mouth. There's no need for me to comment on it. That being said, Brother Forrest, is there anyone else going
on? Brother Richard, do you mind if I, before I go, because I know you have a lot of calls coming in, so I'm gonna exit. But before I do, I want to say to all of you FOI, thank you for the presence that you all are making on Monday night. Thank you for the beautiful impact that you are making on the community. Thank you for your willingness. Thank you for standing up, being real, FOI. And all praises due to Allah for all the Mr. Louis Farrakhan. And all praises due to Allah for you all heeding the call. Much love, much respect. MGT salute to you all. I'm going to have to depart at this time, but I love you all. Thank you for participating tonight, and I will, of course, talk to you all again, but I'll keep listening, but I have something I must do at this moment. So thank you all. Thank you, Brother Richard, for having me on the show. I hope I was a help. Brother Jason, Brother Salam, Brother Ronald, Brother Forrest, thank you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Gidget, we love you, but 718-868, you on the line. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Richard? 718-868, a comment or question for anybody on the panel.
Yes, Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan,
this is Brother Malik Wali Muhammad.
Yes, Malik.
All praise due to Allah. Yeah, I was listening on, bro. I got that call, too, from Brother Forrest, that little quick text. That was a reminder, and I said, let me call in and see what I can contribute to our conversation.
Yes, sir.
I was looking at, thinking about the prison situation, and for me, my own personal experience in prison, and how I got around dealing with certain forces while I was being locked up. And I looked at, the Most High Elijah Muhammad said, study the white man. So when I was in prison, I studied them. I studied how to get around with them. I studied how to be around them without depleting my manhood and still representing who I am just by getting to know who they were. And while in prison, I thought about the teachings, and I recall how the Most High Elijah Muhammad said that he was Yaku in reverse.
Yes,
so when I what I did for me coming from the streets and hustling, living under that type of Yaku mindset, which I was successful in doing wrong and doing crime, what I did, I reversed that when I came out. And I used it since I was an entrepreneur in drugs and hustling. I became an entrepreneur in things that were legitimate, just reversing the process. As far as dealing with the forces in the prison, what I did when I went in, I didn't announce to the brothers or sisters, the brothers in the mosque or the sisters, the correction officers, that I was a Muslim under the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I went in as a Muslim. And I went into the Muslim communities and to the Juma services as a Muslim, never revealing anything about who I was following. But then I gained the love from just being a Muslim with the Muslims. And slowly as I revealed who I actually followed, then they couldn't turn on me because they knew me for who I was as the Muslim that I came into the prison industrial system as. So then it was easy for me to be involved with brothers of the Muslim community, regardless of who I follow, because they recognized me as a Muslim before I gave them any type of a organization or title or whatsoever, and I was accepted. You know, so a lot of times, like Brother said, when we go into these environments, we have to realize whose house we're in. And then we have to rise above emotion into the thinking of God, because oftentimes what happens in the prisons is that we go in with the attitude of, I'm a Muslim follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan, and we want to go in there with that type of energy. And then when you do that, you reject those in the community or in that type of world who are not for that. I'm not saying that you should hide what you believe, but you can incorporate what you believe with what they believe what you have in common with them, and then once you come to an agreement what you have in common, then you can settle all the other differences because you're respected then as being one of those who are among them or that are really a part of them.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Malik.
Yes, sir, brother.
You know, time is short, and we only have a few minutes left. And Brother Forrest.
Yes, sir, brother. You got 9 minutes left and 20-some-odd seconds, and we have two more callers, brother. One I know you want to take, and that's from my big brother, Brother James, 14, Muhammad out in Strong Island. Go ahead, Brother James. You're live on the air.
Without question, brother. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum, big brother. How are you?
By Allah's grace, I am doing fine. Ramadan Mubarak to all that are listening.
Ramadan Kareem,
yes, I love the exchange of information and knowledge that is being shared. And for those that have never done prison time, like myself, you know, being fortunate, we are still in prison outside the walls of the confines of the correction facilities. And I think that term has to be changed because too many of us are going in prison and not being corrected in terms of how to live properly and do right. But the question I have for the panel is based on my son's in prison, and I'm feeding him Islam from behind the walls, and he's telling me that the Muslims where he's locked up in New Jersey are also somewhat affiliated with the Bloods, and I'm trying to ask myself, how could that be? He says, I don't know, so I'm trying to stay clear, you know, of that, and I kind of just, you know, do my thing, my deen, all to myself. So how is that behind the walls where we can proclaim, you know, to be followers, following the path of Islam, and as well engage in gang activity?
Brother Salam or Brother Rommel?
Yes, sir. You know, brother, some of the brothers who come out to the Nation of Islam services in New York State are Bloods. And I remind brothers that, you know, the brother who started the Bloods was inspired by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad because he came from the Black Panther Party. And he was inspired, you know, to form the Bloods, which represents brotherly love, overcoming oppression and destruction. That's the acronym for Bloods. So when I come at them through that angle, I deal with the brotherly love first because they're dealing with brotherly hate because Bloods are killing Bloods. So I try to come at them through that angle. And, you know, the Bloods flag is freedom, justice, equality, and truth. And I compare that to our flag, freedom, justice, equality, and Islam, because Islam is true. So when I come at them through that angle, I inspire them. I said, we got something in common, brother. We're all oneness. We're all one family, man. But we got to bring that brotherly hate into brotherly love because what you got came from us. So when I hit them with that angle, brother, some of the Bloods, they start to change their ways, and eventually some of the Bloods come into the Nation of Islam and they drop their flag. Because I tell them that the aim of the enemy is to keep you divided because it's big money to keep you killing and fighting each other because you keep them prisons open as long as y'all fighting each other. So let's close some of these prisons and get right. Because when the black man wakes up, they got to close at least 50 of the facilities in New York State because they got nowhere to house us because we all home. So that's something that I share with the brothers, Brother James, from my angle, dealing with the gang affiliation and things like that they're involved in because they're looking for something that has something in common with them. And, you know, the commonality, that's why they join gangs because, you know, those brothers have the same interests. So, I mean, that's all I have to say right now, brother. I hope that helps.
Ronald, yes. This is Brother Forrest again. I hate to cut you off, like, man. Beautiful point, Brother Richard. I just want to try to slide in this last caller question, if I may, brother. 347-221. 347-221. You are live on air with Brother Richard.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum,
Brother Ernest.
Ramadan Umbari.
Ramadan Kareem, brother. How are you, Brother Ernest?
I'm fine. I just want to thank you, Brother Forrest, for that call, that text. And from what I see, I never done prison time, but I've been with a lot of prisoners, and I live amongst shelters and programs. And I think first we need to get away from the general stigma and just want to live. And like all prisoners don't have the same problem. So we need to develop packages tailor-made for the different inmates. Because a person that's getting Social Security or disability don't have the same need as a brother that's functional. So the people out here need to develop certain packages and give them to the brothers, and this way they have a lead on what they need to go through. Please forgive me because I'm just getting off the plantation. All right?
Yes, sir, beloved.
Yeah, so you understand what I'm saying? I feel we need to develop packages for the brothers and sisters that's coming out and dealing with each person tailor-made to their needs. And that'll be assistance to them. Because right now, everybody that comes in and go out are looked at as a prisoner. And the case is, what they need. See, they're not looking at that. We need to make packages according to their needs.
Okay. Brother Ernest, this is Brother Forrest, brother. I got to let Brother Richard know that we're down to the last 3 minutes of the show.
Yes, sir.
And so he can allow the panelists to do their closing statements. Brother Richard?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Forrest and Blake Slam. Brother Ernest, thank you for that that comment that you had. It was very on point because we do need to establish the needs of the brothers as they're coming out. That being said, Brother Salam, I'm going to start with you, beloved, because, you know, I haven't heard from you for a while. Is there any last comments that you or statements that you would like to make upon us closing this show out?
Yes, I would like to say that anybody that's on this panel that's interested in becoming a part of the Prison Reform Ministry, they can contact me at area code 347-336-2784, or they can come out to Muhammad Mosque number 7 and meet me any day of the week, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I do Juma on Friday. So you can meet me if you want to be involved, even if it's just as much as communicating with a brother, writing them a letter. Get in contact with me, and I'll connect you with a brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alaykum salam. Brother Ronald, very quickly, beloved.
Brother, it's real quick, brother. I'm thankful to Allah for you giving me the opportunity and the platform to spend time with my brothers as well as my sister on this platform. And I pray to Allah that I get the opportunity to speak with you soon again, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir, beloved. You know you will. Walaykum salam. Brother Jason.
Yes, sir, brother.
I just want to say
may Allah bless each and every one of us, and I thank you for the opportunity to be out and share this evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaykum salam. All praises is due to Allah. You know, I just want to take this time to thank the panel. Y'all was very, very informative to the people. Thank the nation building family, the listening audience. I have to send a special shout out to the FOI of Muhammad's Miles number 7C in New York City. This is my home. I love y'all. Y'all rose to the occasion. I thank y'all. Y'all always here, and I appreciate y'all so much. Brother Forrest, it goes without saying, brother, I appreciate what you do. I thank you for the many hands and hats you wore tonight. And may Allah bless each and every one of us. We out. You know, there's a number of shows that come on this Blog Talk Radio. Continue to tune in because we're going to get better and better and better. Assalamu alaikum.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Right.